We're on page Kuf Yud Beis, Ois Gimel. What we're going to talk about now is, having discussed a little bit the difference between a person whose Hashkafe is based in Olam Hazeh, as opposed to a person whose entire Hashkafe Olam is Bishul Ma'abosti Lakan, what's the purpose of my life. So based upon this distinction, we're going to be able to discuss at length how to get to the underlying problem behind Midas Rose. I spoke about this a little bit last year when we discussed Kinna last summer. It was talking about jealousy, that many of the campaigns that are being conducted with the best intentions, all the anti-Lashon Hara and anti-this and anti-that, many of these campaigns, as wonderful as they are really addressing the symptoms, but they're not addressing the underlying issues, the underlying problem of why is it that we have the urge to speak Lashon Hara, and what can we do about that? We never really, if a person never really changes his overall way of looking at his life and way of looking at reality, then it's almost impossible not to overreact or sometimes to underreact. There are things in life, we were talking about this last week, the things in life that should be taken very, very seriously. And we should be worried about, we should think about, we should be concerned about. Very often those are not the things that we're worried about. Instead we're worried about smaller things or things that really are not part of the bigger picture of L'Neitzach Netzachim of eternity. So this confusion in terms of how to judge priorities, and to be able to develop a mabat, a way of looking at life through these eyes of ikra and tofel, of what is important and what is not important, this is really the basis of our working on all of our midas, and that's what we're going to talk about now. It's very hard for a person not to be makbid. I'm going to talk a lot about hakpadis. But hakpadis, it's a very, very hakpadis, as you all know, is a poisonous thing, a hakpada. It could be a hakpada for whatever it might be. There are hakpadas that linger for years and years and years. I don't even know if there's a good English translation for the word hakpada. Hakpada is, everybody knows what it means, hakpada. Versus makpid, sometimes in the Beis Medrash, you used to open up a sefer, and someone would say, Lashem Haaretzim Loa, right? This book belongs to Yosef Beryl so and so. Also, Lahaitzim Beis Medrash, Rani Makpid Gomer, like something like that, you know. I'm makpid, nobody should take this out. Hakpada means to be particular. To be particular, and to have a hakpada, to have a kapeda. These hakpadas, in many ways, more than a person who has a temper, you have sometimes a person who's not a bal hakpad, he's not a makpid in general. He or she doesn't hold on to hakpadas. There is such a person who has a momentary flare-up. And there's a temper, and there's a momentary flare-up, but then they're not cleared, so they let go. Then you have other people who might be much more calm in general, but they hold on to things. They have hakpadas. At any given time in life, if you open up their head and you empty it out, there are all kinds of crazy like hakpadas, which he calls kpedalach. You know, there are big hakpadas, like on the big things in life, like, you know, my best friend never came to the wedding or something. Those are the big hakpadas. Then you have the kpedalach, all the time there is kpedalach. And it's very hard to live a life of simcha when you're a person that has all these kapedalach. And as many campaigns as we've all been through, for me, this Tavos and self-improvement, and read all the right books, and seen the videos and attended all the great massive campaigns and all the different things. But the kapedalach eat away at our lives. They eat away at our children, our friends, our husbands, our wives. They eat away at us. And in order to really get to the bottom of that, and to get to the bottom of Bechlal, all of our midas, one has to develop a different way of looking at life, a different way of looking at reality. And we ended last week with an amazing vart from the Sfasam. This was an amazing, important vart of how the early generations, their melacha was temporary, and their Torah was permanent. And we learned that the Smasaiva says it wasn't, he didn't mean as far as what a person's occupation was, or what your career was, whether you were learning for 20 years, whether you're somebody that's involved in business. What we learned at the end last week is that there are those people who, even though they might have a little bit of time in the day, but the Torah is that which is fixed in their lives. That's what's most precious and most important to them, that way of looking at things. And malachtam, meaning the things of this world, they see as being not so important, not to get so worked up over, not to get too upset about. So let's continue with Ois Gimel. We're going to skip around. I know it's a little bit difficult with all the Yiddish and the Hebrew, the Yiddish. I don't know why this one was dafke, like preserved, the Yiddish, but I'll ask him next time, why is it that some of them, I think he felt that it must be said dafke in Yiddish. But for our purposes, we're going to be going back and forth to the notes in the Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, by Yetzer Hazeh, page Kuf Yud Beis. This Yetzer Hara, which we learned, especially before Mashiach comes, is very, very strong. This Yetzer Hazeh, Sha'isa Shanagish Alan Yonim Tfeilim Shehem Iker. This unique Yetzer Hara that takes things that are really minor significance, or much less significance in the bigger picture, and makes them seem to be of earth-shattering importance, this special Yetzirah, v'inyonim shel aroi shehem keva, things that should be aroi, that should be passing, but instead they become fixed in us, hu garim chazak ma'oid ma'oid, sheyisar etzlein kol hashvach kaiten shel hamidus leitoivus. This is a very, very powerful cause to awaken within us all of the shvachkeit and all of the weaknesses when it comes to midas leitayvus, when it comes to midas that are not good. The kolah problemin, I don't have to translate that. The kolah problemin and all of the problems should not be lechaveiro. Because when we began this, it would sound like, oh, we're getting into one of these real religious things. This, you know, it's only the next world. This world is lousy. We shouldn't think about the next world. What the tzaddik shows here is that everything in our relationship, our relationships between friends, husbands, wives, children, and parents, all revolves around what do you see as being most important in life, what your priorities are. So, therefore, at the bottom of all of the issues that regulate what happens between friends and family members and so on, at the bottom of all of that is this nekuda of what is important to you and what's not important to you. Are you a ben olam hazeh, or are you a ben olam haba? Yadu meharbe tzadikim schusim agaleinu. You see the Reb Sadik and Reb Chaim Vital Bar Shantav HaKadosh told us a grach sam sefer chidei Rebbe Elimelech oid harbe shahatachlis shel Yehudi b'olam hazeh hu lishtadl b'chol hakeiches lizgabra akol hamidus leitoivus. All the tzaddikim across the board agree that the tachlis of our avoid in this world is to be able to work with all of our koiches, to be able to improve our midas, to overcome those things that are pulling us away. But kol yochid v'yochid yeshlo zayne shvachkeiten, the midas, and every single Jew has his own personal weaknesses in midas. Kol echad hu olam molei. Each person is mamish and olam molei is an entire world. V'tzarech lechapis heitev limso zayne shvachkeiten. And each person, therefore, has to try to see what's his particular, her own particular schwachkeit. Like, what is your point of weakness in midas? That doesn't mean to say that we don't all occasionally lose our temper. I'm not occasionally selfish. I'm not occasionally jealous, and so on, or lazy. In life, we have these moments. But the ikkar is for person, of course, to work on everything. But the way to work on everything, if you work on everything, you're not going to work on anything. The ikkar is to be able to detect what's my ikkar shvachkeit. In other words, what is my weakest point from which everything else seems to develop and come. And he says, this is not simple to find one's schwachkeiten, to find the weaknesses. He says, Leben's arbit. This is it takes an entire life to work on a person being honest and working on himself. But what he's explaining with Sumaya is that the main cause that the bad midas get the better of us is because of this way of looking at reality, where we feel the olam hazeh de ke'inyanim, that things of this world shehim ikke, as if we're going to be living forever. That these are the main things. Yesh b'zayrich has got to look after the brackets. B'zay mevi kol mine hagosha shaynis l'mashun l'shema'irim kol mine midas l'taybis shal tarumis l'kpedalach. That's what we're talking about. And this way of taking the world and taking reality or taking the small things much more seriously than we should, this awakens within us all of these tarumis and all of these tainis and kpedalach and kpedis v'din l'kav chayv. And the way that we judge people in such a negative way, for atzvus, and the smallest things in life can make us terribly sad. We could have so many things to be grateful for. Each one of us can look at our lives and see, Baruch Hashem, Hashem has way surpassed anything that we deserve. And life, Baruch Hashem, is for the most part wonderful. But because of not seeing what's important, like everybody here knows, there's a famous thing, I'm sure you know, that the Rebbe of Zusha had a very hard life. The Rebbe of Zusha, there are many stories about what he suffered. And yet, I'm sure you remember that when somebody came to the Mizritch Magid and he asked the Mizritch Magid about how to deal with difficulties and suffering, so Mizritch Magid said, you know, it's better that you go ask the Rebbe of Zusha, because he's a person that's melumad b'za, he's a person that really... he struggled with these things. He could help you. And you know that this Yid, who had some sorrow, who had some problem, so he went until he found the Rebbe Zusha. He used to always sit in the back saying Tehillim by the oven in the Bais Medrash. So he went to the Rebbe Zusha and he asked the Rebbe Zusha. He said, the Mizritch Magid, the Rebbe sent me to you to ask you how a person should deal with difficulties and with suffering in life. And the Rebbe Zusha, who had such unbelievable sorrows, said, are you sure that the Rebbe said me? I don't know why, because Baruch Hashem, I've never had any problems, and I've never had any difficulties. And if we would go through the biography of the Rebbe Zusha, it would be one tear after another tear. That's all his life was sorrows. But the Rebbe Zusha, from his way of looking at it, if you would have asked him, he would have said, Ibrahim Hashem, I have a Rebbe like Mizritch Magid. I'm zoichet to sit and learn. I'm zoichet to have good chaverim. He had those things in life that were Olam Habadik. Those were the things that were important to him. And because of that, things of this world were able to slide off of him. They didn't stick to him. And that's why the Rebbe Zusha had no hakpadas in anybody. There were no kpedalach with the Rebbe Zusha. Everybody was good and everything was good. So Reb Simai says, let's talk about a couple of feelings, emotions that are awakened within us as a result of this smallness. Shaboy me'akitnes v'hashiflus, this small way of looking at things. And you'll see as we go through this entire Torah that so much of what we're living through now, the nisyanis that we have, are Baruch Hashem, for the most part, Hashem should take care of all of His children. For the most part, it's not with major things. For the most part, things are very, very good, b'chaz de Hashem. For the most part. When you hear sometimes, I was at a Levaya last week, and there's somebody from the shul who lost his father. And, you know, I met this, he's a young man from my shul, and he's so sweet and so gentle. And I hadn't really, his father has been sick for many, many years. And Nebuch was nifta last week, he was only 63 years old, the father. This was a person that was a famous, what do they call if you're an expert on the liver, I forgot, there's an infant, I don't know. He was a nephrologist, kidney. He was the Satmar Rebbe's doctor, and during the Vietnam War, he was helping many, many Jews. And he was a young man, and I spoke to his wife, and she said to me, and I didn't know like what to expect, you know, in the conversation. And the worst thing is, because rabbi is always supposed to say like good things and smart things, and it's hard, especially if you're an idiot. It's a hard thing to do. So I didn't know what was going to be. I didn't know what was going to be with this. And she said to me, she made it so simple. She said, Rabbi, you know, 25 years ago, they said that he had only 5 years to live. And you have to understand that she took care of him the last good couple of years It was terrible, terrible, terrible. And she waited on him day and night. She was taking care of him. She said that it was a schus every minute that we had together. Every day was a privilege, a schus for me, that Hashem Yisbarach gave him those years. And Hashem Yisbarach is good and he's kind. And then I understood the son. I understood what kind of children this person, these people have, what kind of children, big children, to look at things in such a way where another person might think that you know, years of sickness and difficulties and cleaning up and taking care of and so on and so forth, and these people and the way that the sons spoke by the Levaya, they had spayed them, and they said about, I never knew the father when he was well. I never really spoke to him when he was well. He was sick already. But such people, and this is the ikar chiluk you see between people. The problem is that there are things that are mabakach that are not, that are mabakach. You know, they pass. But we see them as being mamish, as having significance. Mamoshes. As zeppis. So let's look down to Chaf Ches. That's the Hebrew translation, the first note on the bottom. Shemagishim shizenechshav mashu. We spoke about this a little bit last week. The person says, you know, this person said this to me. And another person said this. This person did this. Right? We mentioned this last week. This person doesn't hold for me. Doesn't hold for me. I heard that this person doesn't hold for me. And he's not machshav me. This person's not machshav me. This is more of an issue with men than with women. Since we spoke about this years ago, some of you might remember. I mean, even if you don't remember, I spoke about it. But you know, it's a very big chilek. Is that in general, men have problems with the ego. Is a much bigger problem with men than with women. With women, it's more of an issue of being appreciated and so on, and being loved and appreciated. With a man, it's much more an issue of ego. And in a shul, you could have a little shul that could be barely a minyan. There's like such stuff going on in any shul. There's stuff going on. Like who's in charge of the herring, you know, this week. And it becomes like a whole malchus. There was a sociological study that was made some years ago. I remember I had to read it years ago in school, called Synagogue Life by a professor. But he wrote it like it said, with a little bit of an antagonism, with some affection, but also some antagonism. Even though he's a firm person, the author. But it was a study of like a little shul. He wrote an entire book on studying a little shul, like the things, the power struggles, like, you know, the first gabbai, the second gabbai, like all these things that are going on in a shul, that when you see it and you watch it, and there's no shul that's potter from it. Every shul, there's an inyan like in this shul, what's going on, like beneath the scenes in this shul. And a lot of it has to do with ena machshav isi, when a yeshiva, he's not machshav me. This guy says something negative about my chug, meaning my chassidus, my yeshiva, or my group, whatever it might be. What is Hashem? Told me a little bit about this on Shabbos, or about our derech and avodas Hashem, the way that we our avodas Hashem. V'adam achol le'hoyde maspik al zeh shekol kach is yagati v'samasti avuro, and this other person never thanked me for working so hard on his behalf. V'adam achol ein bechlal hagosh shel hakaras hatov, and this other person doesn't have any feeling of appreciation for me. That's much more with the women than with the men. The union of expecting hakaras hatov, again, doesn't have to be, you know, I'm up in lights, you don't have to be honored, and in general, women don't want that stuff at all, to be honored at any dinner or anything like that. But say, you know, say it was nice. Say I appreciate it. Say a nice word. Hakaras hatov for a woman is the most precious thing. So there are many, many hakapadis that this person wasn't makir tov. Al kamash asisi over v'adam plenty medaber lai ma'id kar. This person is very cold to me. The way he speaks to me in a cold way. Nobody pays any attention to me. And doesn't take an interest in my life. This person is not mishtatef in my tzar. He doesn't join me in my difficulties. He doesn't empathize with me and understand what I'm going through. He doesn't worry about me. He doesn't think about me. Or a person sometimes has this feeling, I have to work so hard. I'm always working for other people, and I have to do it myself. Nobody helps me enough. They don't help me as they should. And nobody recognizes how much I'm sacrificing for them, how much I'm giving for them. All the way down to the bottom, after the Chav Ches, on the page, it's like six lines up from the bottom of the right hand column. And there are many, many thousands and tens of thousands of hargoshes, of emotions that come from a place, shubem amok amok, and they reach very deep into who we are. And this generates within us all kinds of destructive midas. These feelings bring out very bad midas. If you're expecting someone to say a word of appreciation for a day, for 2 days, 3 days, and nothing happens, then even under normal circumstances, even if that person is behaving decently, you begin to snap. Because in your head you have a cheshbon that you owe me 3 days worth at least of shkoyach. And I didn't get one shkoyach. So by the third day the person says, so how are things today? What are you asking how are things today? And you don't want to say, I'm still upset with you from what happened 3 days ago, and the person might not even know what you're talking about, and you never said thank you. You never said a word. So you're walking around, and now you're going to listen to a shir talking about how it's not nice to have kaas. So you're going to feel so guilty because it's hard to understand. You know, the person just said, how's your day? And you said, what do you care? And how can you spoke in such a nasty way? So you're going to go through a whole thing and you're going to think about the meaning of kaas and kaas. That's not the problem. It's not the kaas. You're a nice person. It's not like you're a kaasanit. It's not like you're a kaasanit, like, you know, stam. You were hurt. The question is whether or not there's a way to be bigger than that moment of not receiving that yeshakayach. But if you're not, and you get stuck in that, you get caught in that, then the fact that 3 days later you let out a strong word, it's not kaas that's your problem. Although it would be nice if we were all like little Chavos Chaims, but it's not kaas. It's not kaas. It's the hakpada that's cooking and sitting. And something, and not only that, it becomes bigger over the last few days. It grows. It takes on all kinds of monstrous proportions. Even in the beginning, if it would have been taken care of that day, or maybe if you would have even said something, maybe you should have said Yashakar, or to forgo the Yashakar, whatever. It takes on monstrous proportions. And this brings out, in the house, with children, with parents, with friends, hein mishpacha, hein yeshiva, hein b'makom havayda, at work, v'hein v'asakim shel tzarchei tzibur, things that you're working to help with the community, with the tzibur. U'b'chol matzav, u'b'chol gil, look down chof tes, in the Hebrew. Avel im, Hashem is baruch ha'izer, if a person is zaycha, and Hashem helps us, and we're going to work on this. U'mistroimim im, u'magbiim es atzmenu l'mala, and we're able to lift ourselves up. We lift ourselves up lamala to a higher way of living, to a higher hashkafas aylam. And that's what the word hashkafa means, by the way. It became like the word hashkafa, they think, means philosophy. Hashkafa, what does it mean? Hashkifa means hashkafa, means how you look at things. To be mashkif means to look at things, but it doesn't mean to look at things the way, there are different words in Hebrew for looking, listakel, lahabit, leros. Lahashkif always means what? It means from a high vantage point. Hashkafa means to have the bigger picture, that's hashkafa. Like the Ramchal said, that you have, like in the old days, kings used to have these gardens where they would have mazes in the gardens, and they would enjoy having people get lost in these mazes, like contests and stuff. Like they put animals or rats in a maze, they would put human beings in these, between these hedges, and they'd be in these gardens getting lost. And the Ramchal says, but the Chacham, the Tzaddik, he's like the person that's standing on the hill, overlooking the whole thing, that sees exactly, that's what it means, that's what Hashkafa means, to have a bigger way of looking at things. And that's the yisoid. That's really the key to our happiness, and that's the key to all midas tovus. It is misrim magbimas asmin lamala v'zoichim shekol hadvarim ha'ela heim aroi mamish. And to remember that all of these things that are upsetting us are passing things. It's not, they're not choshev, they're not important. Sheharei anachnu nimtzoyim kan ba'olam avur tachlis miyuchedis. We were sent into this world for a specific tachlis, each one of us. Avur shlichus atzumav v'nizgava, for a great and wondrous and awesome purpose, a shlichus that we were sent by Hashem. Nimeila kol hadvarim ha'ela noiflam hatzida. All of these things fall aside. All of the small things that are not tied up to the bigger question of who am I? What's the tachlis of my life? And why did Hashem give me these children? And why did Hashem give me this husband, this wife, these parents? V'heim mizbatlam ka'afra da'ara mamish. Then they become totally silly and unimportant. Isn't a person, we should never know from Tzaros, after a person loses a parent, lo aleinu, then all of those obstacles that were keeping them from more visits look so silly. The day after, the hour after, I've spoken to many people now that have been in this, have had this terrible feeling of guilt. Why didn't I call once more? Why didn't I visit more? Why didn't I pay more attention? And when you're in it, the answer always was, I can't because I have this, I have that. Then when the truth is clear, which is when the person is standing there and the Nebuch throwing the dirt onto the Aron, so then the answer is, then it was never left. I didn't have like 30 seconds just to give a call. And I didn't have the other things that were more important. But what was more important? What's more important than showing love to the people who took care of us, who raised us? And they generally ask for very, very little. Usually they have very, very, very little small expectations. Much smaller than we usually have our own children. But that's how it is. You don't see it in the bigger way until after it's finished. You don't see the whole tmuna, the whole picture. Carry my nafkimin and call out of our mail. So what's the nafkimin? What's the nafkimin? You know what? Lemaisa, what comes out from it? What comes out? What's going to be the nafkimin? You know, again, it's harder for. You know, it depends what your position is in the community, and if you're more of a public person or more of a private person. But at some point, very soon, we're going to have to start making a cheshbon of Baruch Hashem, all the varts that we're going to, and all the lechaims, and what's happening to our families and our children, and all the dinners, and so on and so forth. There's noble and there's wonderful, and there should only be good things in simchas. And the terror is that the person is going to be upset if I don't go to the lechaim. Okay. So, what are you going to do? One has to know, where is the child holding it? And it could be that night that kid needs you more. I'm not so sure, klap yishmain, Hashem's eyes, every case is different, but I'm so sure. So, that person came to your vart, so you have to go to that vart. Okay, but we have to do what Hashem's Baruch wants us to do. And it's not posh to know, this night, what's the right thing for me to do? Should I be going out? I've been out the last 3, 4, 5 nights. Should I be going or shouldn't I be going? The child has a test the next day. The kids, whatever it might be, it's very hard to know. Every situation is different. And then what's the nafkimin? Is your friend going to get over it or not get over it? If he's a mature, if they're mature people, and you say that my child needed me, they'll say, good, I'm glad that you stayed. I'm glad that you stayed home. If they're not as mature, and they carry around the hakapada, so then what are you going to do? You have to do what the Baruch Hashem wants you to do. And the answer is not always running away. As much as you want to make everybody happy, sometimes the answer is to stay home. V'hareyesh li neshama kedosha tahara ba'eris. A Jew has to think, I have a holy neshama, a burning, a fiery neshama. Shiyosa gevoy mekalam alochim v'asrafim. That's more exalted, that's higher and greater than all angels. V'yesh li shlichus v'tafkin. That's why I'm giving an example of the children we spoke about a lot 2 years ago. That's already 3 years ago, yeah. I have a shlichus, I have a tafkid. The main shlichus of our lives, I got news, is not to make our friends happy. It's not to make our friends happy. The main shlichus of our lives is to take care of our children. If Hashem was mezakas with children, is to take care of our children, to take care of talmidim, if one is zeichet to be a teacher, take care of parents. That's the main shlichus of our lives. These are the shlichus of our lives that are not arai, that are not temporary and passing. These have to do with nitzchias. These jobs are tied up to the tachlis of bishvil ma basi lekan. Like, why did Hashem's Baruch put me in the world and give me these kids? So their friends are not gonna. They'll be upset with you. They'll have akpada. Okay, they'll deal with it. They'll get over it. But you have to remember, what's your shlichus? And I'm not talking about being callous. Please don't. I'm not talking. One should not be callous. And simchas are important. I'm not saying that it's an Irishkeit, but it's a question of priorities. And one has to not be callous, but one has to be able to be comfortable and secure, knowing that you have a tachlis in this world, and that tachlis in the world is the most important thing in life, and everything in your life and everything else is ayroi, and this is kavur. Shekol ha'olam aymed al zeh, v'kol ha'olam es aymdim al zeh. That all worlds are standing upon this. All worlds are standing upon this. Your entire future, your whole destiny depends on this. It's so hard for parents to keep this in mind. I have to go speak someplace next week on this thing, which I really don't feel like talking about. But, you know, it's someplace here in the mountains. But not this whole thing, but on a particular thing. Well, they gave it a title that I have to deal with now. I was talking to Myrna about this. You know, the Hashkafas Olam, that it's very hard for a mother who's in the mountains to have the Hashkafas Olam that I'm here for my family. Especially when you've put in a good, hard, difficult year. And everyone deserves a rest. Everyone deserves a rest and a vacation. But the children are still the ikkah, the ikkah is still the children. And the main thing is that they should have a vacation that's good. And I don't mean good only in terms of having fun. But everything should be with kedusha and tahara, and to be focused, and to make sure that you're not in any way jumping ship, you know, relinquishing and giving them over too much. And it's a very, very hard thing to keep one's priorities in order when you spend the whole year waiting for and dreaming of that time when you're finally going to have some of your own time. This is my time. And you'll have that sometimes. My teva is to be very nervous with time. That's why I'm always on time for things. I have a very, very, I'm not German or anything like that, but I have this thing like with time. My mother's also, there's time, there's a big time issue in our family. My sister's much worse than me. But we have a time thing. And my wife is very laid back, as you probably know. If you know her, she's very, very easy with things like this. And so often, especially when the children are growing up, so if it were up to me, I would have this shita when they were little. 7:30. 7, not 7:31. Not 7:29 could be Michael, but not 7:31. 7:30 is bedtime. Then next year, we could move it up to 7:45. And it's very, very hard. It's hard to adjust because my wife's way is like, what's the big deal? You know, still like now when it's 9:45 every morning, and I see my little one Shifi. She's like, you know, just in pajamas and hanging out. And I say, you know, it's day camp. What's going on? He said, there's a schedule. It's 9:45. So Myrna says, you know, it's the summer. It's vacation. You take it easy. So I say, I think there's davening at 9:45. Like, then you try to make it to a religious, you know, like, I think there's something religious happening at 9:45. So she says, what do you think they daven? I mean, we can say Maidani here. You know, it's like, there's no big deal. And it's not like, you know, she's bothering me anything, the little ones. Just, these are like in Yonim that are, like, that we take small, so you get stuck in a certain inyan that's not choshev. And because of that, it's so easy to make the child less important than you. And then we think that the vacation is for us and it's not for the kids. It's not true. We're not worthy of. You think that we're worthy to have such a summer like this? I mean, Bamis, we're not, as adults, we're not worthy. It's in the schools of our children. The wife wants the children to be outdoors and to have a nice time. And we're only holding on to their coattails that we should be able to be away a little bit from the city. It's because of the children. The Baruch Hashem wants the children to have a good time. And the adults can, like, tag along. But if you look at it the other way, which is the Olam HaZadik way, is, Kum Tzimnir, I had a hard year. and the kids are to a large extent responsible for making it a hard year. So this is my vacation. I'm going to run, I'm going to come, I'm going to go. It doesn't make a difference. Even in the mountains, the kids could see a mother coming back 2-3 hours after the camp, you know, carrying some, lugging some antique from who knows where. Everybody should have nice things. And once again, even in the summer, the children have to wait for mommy and the chulu v'chulu v'chulu. So here's the vacation. There's a vacation for the children, Dick. But it's so hard because that way of looking at reality is against everything in culture. In our society, because our society is an Olam Hazadika society. This way that I'm talking about is an Olam Habadika way of looking at things. It's my shlichus is my child. This is my shlichus. This is my responsibility. This is my main responsibility. This is my main shlichus in the world. So, that's what he says. That's when it comes to your shlichus, when it comes to, we're finishing footnote chavtes, when it comes to your shlichus and what you have to do in this world, really all worlds are depending upon you being successful at that. Not that thing that you think is so important for that day, or not even that vart or that lechayim. Not even. What all idlemas are standing on is not whether you attend that lechayim, but whether you take care of what your shlichus is at that moment. If you could juggle both, and we're trying very hard to juggle more than two things. That's why our time is the nisyonis of our time are the hardest nisyonis. These terrible, terrible nisyonis. Not to have yeshiva v'das. Not to, even that, even when we're with the children, we're not really with them. It's very, very hard. But all idlemas are standing upon this. V'im kein v'chiyani eilech lasis is atzmi tipish v'shaita. So am I going to be like a? I'm going to be a fool, a shite, an idiot. Vani evayt achshav zman should be. I guess the right Hebrew would be here. I should lose out now. Zman kodesh v'tahar. I should learn. I should waste a time that is holy and that is pure. Now with the men, when I talk to the men about this, I talk to them about sleeping on Shabbos. And I'm not saying that one shouldn't have a nap on Shabbos, but you know, people are tired, but there are naps. They're naps. And I talk to the men in shul a lot about this. And Baruch Hashem, there's a strong campaign in the shul. You know, says that to be, especially in the winter, you have a Friday night with a nice Shabbos meal and with zmiris and with everything and schmoozing. There's still a night you could be finished with everything by 7 o'clock in the winter. A man could learn till 12, 1, 2 in the morning. And still be able to daven, to get up and to daven, and to be on time in shul. When you have these long summer days, there's so much time. It's chaval. Taking into account sheni b'shabbos tam, like everybody knows those sentences. Shabbos, you're supposed to sleep. It's a big, big, big mitzvah to sleep. It's the biggest mitzvah to sleep on Shabbos. A person sleeps for an hour. I'm like, what's up? An hour and a half? What's the inyan like? You know. Extensive sleeping. And Shabbos is the most precious time in the world. How many Shabbos do we have? It's 1/7 of our life. All together, what do we have in this whole world? How many Shabbos do we have? That a Shabbos should be spent stam, batlanis. Again, with the oinig that comes with taking a nap, but not to spend time. Even if it means we're taking a walk with a kid or something, but tachlis, not stam, sleeping. To sleep away Shabbos. There are men that they can go to sleep. They can go for 3, 4, 5 hours Shabbos to go to sleep. Kind of a, what is that? Unless it's a medical chalil or something, you know, I don't know. A lot of people claim to have issues that they need more sleep. Usually the people that sleep more. Right? But it's a bizbuz of, it's a waste of precious time. It's man kodesh v'tor, v'yavaz v'zayisem dvaram shol mabakach. So dvaram shol mabakach, what? What are you spending the time? In the middle of the page, at the end, we're in the middle, after footnote chavtes, ubevadai poshet moed, who move up my harbet tzedikim right back down to lamed. So you didn't have to really, yeah. And it's understood. Move on shezele hoylich biyom. He explains this changing of one's perspective and making a person having olam habedika eyes, looking at things with that way. From Olam Haba, from what's important, what's the shlichus. He says that doesn't happen in a day. Zelo matzliach teich yom shemiyad yagishu as kol ha'pratim anal sheimamish klum. You certainly can't change in one day to feel that all these things are not important. Vayim stam hevel l'shlusim, that it's nairishkei. A shavua doesn't change in a week, a chaydish or a month, or a shan or a year. Ela za'avayda shemutla aleinu lavad ba b'meshach kol yimei chayenu mamish. All of our lives. And that's only a person who stops and thinks. I know it sounds silly, like why shouldn't a person think? But really it's hard to stop and think, like what am I getting myself all caught up in? What am I getting worked up over? And throughout one's entire life, you can give nachas ruach to Hashem Yisborach by working on this. Remember that the point is not whether you've gotten there, the point is that your personal works on this. And of course, we have good days and bad days, but the ikur is to work on this, to be bali avoida. It's not going to happen because you have this one thought that you heard this one shiur that, oh, this world is a passing world. Okay, therefore I'm not going to get all worked up about these things. But that's not going to happen. You have to work on it. You're not going to feel that right away. And then suddenly you're going to be lifted up and you're going to live a much higher and more exalted life. As if in one day you'll be zeicha to what? To acquire all wonderful, all precious midas, hamuz, havais, all golden midas. This is a project that we work on constantly throughout our lives. Constantly add more. To make it something which is more a part of us. When it comes to all small things, more and more and more to work on this inyan. We're on the top of page Kuf Yudal. You're on the right page. That things that are passing and unimportant shouldn't take hold of the heart, of the mind, and of one's time, of how one spends time. I mentioned this in the past, but I remember when I was studying in college and then afterwards in graduate school, so I was never able to study until like an hour before. It didn't go. My usual way was that I would try within the first 3 or 4 days of the semester to read all of the readings that were on the thing, to read everything, and then not to attend until the last day or two, and then all of a sudden, like the night before the exam, to they call it cramming, right? And I tried not to do that. So I would go like a couple of days before, I'd go to the library. I just didn't. I couldn't. You know, I'd start to read other things and look around and make phone calls. It wouldn't happen. But when you feel that the test is in 3 hours. Well, the test is in the morning and it's the night before, so you feel the chshivas. You feel the chshivas of every moment. And then you're able to concentrate. You're able to block out the entire world when you feel the chshivas of that moment. You know, that's how tzaddikim talk to people. When you're with a tzaddik, you feel that there's nobody else that exists in the world. Even though you might be only with that person you might be with a tzaddik for 30 seconds. You feel there's nobody. You feel that you're the only Jew in the world when you're with the tzaddik for those few seconds. But you feel like there's nobody. Not like when you talk to those people and they're looking. It's very uncomfortable, right? When you're talking to someone, they're looking to see. But when you're with the tzaddik, the inyan of the tzaddik is it might only be 30 seconds, but there's nothing else that exists for that minute, for those 2 minutes. There's nothing else that exists. There's nothing else. And that's a very, very hard thing to acquire. You have to work on that your whole life. To be able to be focused, to be focused. The second line of Kuf Yudal. Each year, Hashem Yisbaruch helps us again in a new way. Especially Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, every year there's a new shefa, and he explains, of course, when it comes to the time of the year of the that we read the parashiyos of the Avos and the Imahos to work on Amidas. That we're able to see during that time, that to begin to feel more and more how the things of this world, amamish, aroi, One of the tzaddikim explained, why is it that we read Koheles on Sukkos? Would any one of us have made that choice to read Koheles on Sukkos? Why is that a kasha? Why is that a kasha? I mean, Sukkos is Mansam Chasayna. Sukkos is the happiest, happiest time of the year. The most depressing sefer in Tanakh is Koheles. It's Koheles. When I first learned it, not right, but I first learned it many, many years ago, when I was like 16 or 17, I couldn't go outside for a week afterwards. It's so overwhelming. The Havel Havalim Amak Koheles, Havel Havalim Hakol Havel. It's overwhelming. And yet, Chazal, we have a minig that we read Koheles, that we read Koheles, Ashkenazim, that we read Koheles by Sukkos, by Zman Simcha Seinu. So why is that? So the tzaddikim say, because it's the Chasam Sofer and the Reuel HaMelech and the Balatanya, the tzaddikim explain, that after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you know what's important and what's not important. You know what's permanent and what's passing. That's why you sit in the sukkah after Yom Kippur. Even though nowadays they make the sukkahs that look very nice too. But even the nicest sukkah doesn't. It's not the same thing as being in your own house. So that means that after Yom Kippur, when a person realizes what are the priorities, and the priorities are not, you know, this kitchen or this bathroom, this living room or this couch or this carpet, and a person begins to refocus on what's chashuv in life, and then that climaxes with Sukkos, with the yontif of Sukkos, when a person poshut leaves the house. And he leaves the house. And he says that I understand now that what I thought was so important and was so precious to me is not important to me. And you sit in a plain little shack with people that you love, Bez Hashem, that's what's important and the Yishpizen, that's what's important under the stars. That's Chashev. So that's when we read Koheles. Why? Because now a person can honestly say Havel Havalim Akol Havel. Now you can really be sincere when you say that. What does it all mean? You could say that last pasuk of Koheles, Sov Dov Hakol Nishma, Esol Kimi Revetz Mitzvayis Nishma Kizek Kol Ha'Adam. Kizek Kol Ha'Adam. Vos is a mensch. Vos. What's the whole life? After Rosh Hashanah Kippur, Sukkos. After going through the whole Elul, Rosh Hashanah Kippur, and Sukkos, and Hashanah Rabbish, Mitzvayis Simchas Torah. Then a person is able to start again with the parashiyos of Bereishis and with the Ovis and the Emos and to work on one's midas, because then a person can say it's takin Irishkeit. It's takin Irishkeit. And to see what's good in the world. It's not depressing. You know how the Bedichva used to be the first pasuk of Koheles? I once told you, I think. You know the Bedichva could never see anything good, right? So the Bedichva used to say the first pasuk, Havel Havolam Amar Koheles. Havel mean, what does it mean, Havel? Irishkeit. Vanity, Narishka. So the Vedicha used to be Havel Havalim Amar Koheles, Havel Havalim, and then he stopped and said Hakol Hevel, which means what I just said, that everything is Hevel, that's all Hevel. Really, the world is so good. That's not the Vedicha already. Havel Havalim Amar Koheles, Havel Havalim, what I just said, Hakol Hevel. I regret saying it. Really, it's so good in the world. Everything is so gewaldig. And that's only possible after Rosh Hashanah Kippur. You can't see that in Nisan and Iyar. You can't see that in Shvat and Tevis. But after Yom Kippur, after real Yom Kippur, after real El Rosh Hashanah Kippur Sukkos, a person can see Taka that this world is not. And it's a Sukkah. The whole thing is a Sukkah. And then a person is able to feel Mamish, the ability to start again and to work on one's Midas. That's why we begin with the parashiyos of the Ovis and the Imohos. It's all of these things are worked out by the Baruch Shalom in such a way. Now we could try to be like, we could be kind like Avraham Avinu, because Yom Kippur you learn to let go a little bit of how tightly you're holding on to your purse. Yom Kippur you realize, Ki lebimayse yikacha kol le'yed achav kevayda, what am I going to take it with me? Yom Kippur a person is able to let go of these things. Like I said last week, uvachain, you don't hold on to these things anymore. So in the mimela, after Yom Kippur, and after Sukkos, then a person can start to work on the midas achesed. But if you have the same hashkafa, an oilam hazadika hashkafa, and you start to work on chesed, it comes out to be these very well-intentioned, cute little projects that never add up to anything. Because I'm still like, I'm looking at things without Yom Kippur, without Sukkos. And when you look at things without Sukkos, without Yom Kippur, then everything is permanent. And all the things in my life are very important. And if I don't have this thing, I'm going to be very upset. And then you find that you can't work on your midas, because your whole hashkafah is already, Yom Kippur is gone. And you can't see it clearly. ועכשיו שמסחילים שונה חדושה וציין אבינו שבשמיים שנשתדלם כל הכויכס להשיג יוסף יוסף הגושה הזה, the Baruch Hu wants us to have more and more of this feeling. And ממילא ותעשך עשך לייכת דעבודת המידס, working on midas will become much easier, לייכת, lighter, will become much easier and lighter for us. Sabizloch kupman to the Shlemus Amidus, and slowly then we can begin to work on Shlemus Amidus, on working on Amidus. So the body mizeb is Hashem b'shabbos kam kam rotsa bishem shoyim shavedus Amidus zon gain sabizloch mer mezukuch and mer mezukuch and mer edel and mer edel, that when it comes to working on Amidus, it's not overnight. It's not because you go to some shir on Midas. It's mer mezukach, more edel, more mezukach, more refined each and every day. Now in Dalit he talks about how the hashkafa, how an olam hazadika hashkafa creates within us one of the most destructive Midas of all. And it's interesting, it's a Mida that you cannot, don't see any sefer talk about, and I don't remember ever hearing a shmuz about this growing up in school. In Hebrew it's called sakranus. In modern Hebrew it's called sakranut. In English it's called what? What's sakranus? What does it mean?
Curiosity.
Curiosity kills much more than cats. That's what we're going to learn now. Curiosity. Which with children it's an adorable midah. Why? I have kids. Why? That's gewaltig. But when adults are always doing that, why did he go there? Why did she go there? Why are they coming here? It's not good. Sakranus is very, very, very bad with adults. Except, I'm not talking when it comes to the Tosus or Gemara. I mean, that's very good. Or when it comes to understanding the Dvar Hashem. But Sakranus, curiosity, ben Adam l'chavero, very, very, very bad. Where does that come from? So he explains. Vahayetzer indal. Vahayetzer hazer. Shemargishim al divay eroi vehevel shehim mashu. This yetzahara, to take things that are passing, that are unimportant, to take them very seriously. Garim ayud harbi chorbanis. They cause many other chorbanis. Vechazal ha-kadosh v'sadikim hirishu kamez em mamish mahayisaydis v'kol avaydis Hashem yizbaruch. Kol minei this how do you pronounce it? Nigerakite, which means curiosity. Nigerakite. Curiosity. Shaboyim l'kol yochid bar mizeh ha-yetzer. That what? What's this yetzahara? The interesiyat azoyfil narishkaiten. That there are a lot of narishkaiten that are interesting. And it's amazing to me, this person who is saying this Torah is so out, so separate from things of this world, but he's so in touch. He's so in touch. Well, you'll see in a second. B'chol gila, b'chol matziv yesh, andir asart nigra kaiten. And every age of life, there are different curiosities, things that make us curious. It's hard to go into details about it. I'm very far from being good in these things. our son-in-law was just here Shabbos, and he's very close to the Reb Tzimai, and he was saying how they went together a whole bunch of chassidim, and my son-in-law went on a bus with Reb Tzimai on Lag Boim to go on Lag Boim up to Reb Shim to go to Meron, and my son-in-law Binyam was saying that he's like, you know, they're in Yerushalayim, they're leaving Yerushalayim, and he's looking out the window. Yeah, he's like they're in Yerushalayim. No, they're on the bus. They're just leaving, and all of a sudden, like some big Hasidic hand reaches over and shuts the shade. And the bus has shade. And every single, he looks around, like all the shades are being shut until they get out into the wide open area where it's just mountains and hills. What's the pshat? It's better not to look. Where do you have to look? Streets, Yerushalayim. And he was saying, like, he loves to see, you know, he loves to see, you know, you and Yerushalayim, you want this down, nothing, there's nothing to look at, nothing to see. When we get to the hills, that's nice. Right here, you don't have to look. There's too many interesting things on the streets. It's better not to look. Can you imagine? People think we're crazy. It's a whole different way of looking at the world. Look what he says. Just another 5 minutes. He says, so look at Lamed Vav. The Marshal. Kasha Shemim Shahisa Simcha. When you hear that there's a simcha, there's a whole website. online, Simcha online, whatever it's called. Only simchas.com. Yeah, I know. So there's a website where people can look and to see and to share in the Simcha. It's gewaldig. I'm just saying that because I don't want it to sound like I'm crazy. I personally think that's the craziest thing in the world, that there should be a whole thing. Although I know you explained to me why it's nice. What was the reason? I don't remember why it was nice, but you told me because... people couldn't be at the Simcha. Okay. No, that's true. People who couldn't be at the Simcha, they could look a little bit to share. That's good. That's true, and everything is a good thing. But otherwise, he says like this. Kasha shayimim shahis a Simcha. When a person hears that there was a simcha, so maschilim les anyin al shtuyas, you begin to become interested in all the details, all the shtuyas. If you hear this machlokes, nobody will ever fall asleep during a shiur if there's talk in the shiur about like Lubavitch and Rav Shach zecher tzaddik livracha. Oh, everybody will be up. In that shiur, you could have the bocher that never listened to one Rashi the whole year. But if Rebbe says something against Lubavitch, or against this Rashi Shiva, that Rebbe, you're against the who knows what. Oh, then the machloikis? Oh, that's geshmak. Everybody's up. All the boys will remember that Rebbe said something about the machloikis. Or if there's a machloikis among the guys, that's already geshmak. Maschilim lachshol bereshenu, then you begin to think about it. That's what makes newspapers sell, but you know that. Why do newspapers sell? For the news? Because machlokes. Everything's machlokes. Manasseh shom. What happened over there? V'choshvim b'mocheinu. Almoich, yeah, b'mocheinu. In the head, I'll call mine shtuyas. All kinds of details. Narishkan, she's talking, shenasim shom. Oh, what could have happened there? What's behind the scenes? Oh, who knows? You open a book. When you open a book, you start to look in the book. All kinds of. He's talking about this even in the sefer. You look at the things that are not most important in the sefer. Even in the sefer, you start to look at the hakdamas. Like, I skipped something.
No.
Right. Whose haskama came first? Was it the Chassidish Haskama or the Litvish Haskama? You know, like, you begin to look at, like, and to see interesting things. If it talks about this, it talks about that. I'm not talking about bad things, it's a safer. But you're looking to see interesting things. When it comes to newspapers, magazines, there's a Jewish newspaper. All of those who are involved in it, they should only be healthy. Well, the whole newspaper is on the side of curiosity. It's built, it has nothing to do with news. It has to do with, like stuff. Stuff, like stuff that's going on. You know, it's harmless. I'm not saying go out for a good bit, but it's a little bit. But you know, like, what's going on? Like, what's going on? What's happening? The chadayma. V'mah shebinyin adam echad leminyin adam acher. Ma'anyein adam echad lo ma'anyein adam acher. And what one person is curious about, another person is not. You'll have two people open up the same newspaper, and one person sees right away 14 people killed. You know, train falls off the tracks. Another person, that's not his Indian, so he sees like the Yankees won fifth straight game. Like, everybody has their Indian that they're most curious about, and it's an amazing thing because the second you open up a book or a newspaper, you'll see that thing that interests you. Your eyes will automatically move towards that Indian. That's how it is. Yeah, back on top. Well, the farmim after the lamed vav, after the footnote lamed vav. Well, the farmim echad le maven bechlal, sheyesh afilu yetzel azel hasheni. You can't understand why the other person would even be interested in this. Like, so the guy can't understand. Like, what are the women? What difference does it make if that lady wore a black shoe or a brown shoe or not? It didn't match her pocketbook. It didn't match her sheitel chlis. What's the difference? What it matches? It didn't match. So the men will laugh and make fun, and the men with their inyan. So each one can't see, like, why does that interest you, Bechla? Like, what do you care about that? Chemarishkai. Everybody has their narishkai. Avalatzada shavash v'kulim, what they all share in common, shakitnis v'ashiflis. U'mashashaych, they all have in common smallness. U'mashashaychim ha'tachlis v'ikr, and they all draw you further and further away from the tachlis and the ikr. Garmin what? Kol minei nagrakait, all these curiosity. Kol shkin chasosham, chasosham. Later she leishla nagrakait kshin mitzoyim berachov. If you're curious, especially with the boys, it's harder walking on the streets, and they're curious to see what's going on the street, and that's what that window shade was going down about. Just another 2 minutes, and that could, God forbid, defile the eyes. It causes the eyes to become impure. That's the nefesh oldiger thing. You know, you by the tzatlach. What are the tzatlach? You know, in Yerushalayim. On every wall, they're plastered with like who's the latest person that's like in Chayim, you know, the last some funeral, you know the tzatlach all over. Everybody's pulling them down. This one's screaming about his and tearing this one up and putting another one. The tzatlach in Yerushalayim. Oh, the tzatlach in Yerushalayim are unbelievable. They're like 20 layers. Tzatlach, you know, and each one's upset about this and mechoyis and all kinds of things and what's going on. And there's going to be this protest and this, who knows what, tumulting, everything's a tumult. Berachov, Beis HaMedrash, Olikol Komini, Shtusim, Havalim, and Irish Kaidim, and Hedfosim, Mashukarim, Zeitung, the newspapers. There's a friend of mine that we were at a Shabbaton this year together. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. Maybe some of you have heard him speak. Label Lamb, you've heard Reb Label? He's a very special person. So Reb Label was recommended to him, and he tried an experiment. I think that he wouldn't for, I don't remember, it was a month or 2 months, I don't remember what the Zman was, that he wouldn't listen to any news or read any newspapers at all. Not to read any newspapers or listen to the news. So, of course, people say, what's going to be with you? Like, you know, like if, God forbid, there's a nuclear war, you're not going to find out. Everybody finds out if there's something like, you know, that's important. But he said it's impossible to describe how much better his life was, how more meaningful, how more relaxed, and how more focused. And it sounds like it's a small thing. But, and anybody tells you, we shouldn't read newspapers, I would say, you know, you're crazy, you're backwards, you know. But it's all, the newspapers mostly revolving around, mostly it's on kittens, on kleinigkeit, on small things. Moving to the obviously there's some things, if it means finding out, to look at a tzatla because you have to attend, God forbid, a levaya, or to get someplace, of course that's important, that's a very holy thing, to be able to, you know, or to find out, to understand something. He says, but now I think he's making fun. He says, I think he's making a little bit of fun here. He's saying, yeah, these things become all of a sudden the most important things in the world, like you have to go to the mikveh, make l'shem yichud, before you read the newspaper. These become the most important things. That even on Shabbos, a person can sit with newspapers on Shabbos. The truth is, we all know. Can I take another 2 minutes? I know it's overtime. Just another 2 minutes to finish up this one note, and that's the, we finish. Yeah, look in Mem. My nafki minute. Mikol hadvar ma'elam pech kuftes of the note. Really, what's the difference of all of these things? My yesh lo adam mikol zeh. What does a person have from all of these things? We know that Chazal taught us that every Nairish guy that comes to the head, it disrupts, it affects our learning, the Torah Kedosh, the Tefillah, our davening, and serving Hashem. Every Nairish guy you put to the head, something important goes out of the head. We're living in such a weak generation that Ben Kach, even if we don't read newspapers all the time, and even if we don't get cut off, and even if we don't look at simcha.com, whatever it's called, we have so much narishkeit in the head just growing up in America. Our heads are so filled with crazy things. We need new schayra, like we need to go shopping for more stuff. We have enough kittness, we have enough smallness in our heads just from being in this world at this time. We have to have more more kitnus, more narishkeit, the skiyas mochene be kitnus, shark the filam tarak doshim at filam. I mean, at tarish and achni chal lumad, there's so little tar that we're able to learn. And makarichas achaloshim, some are so weak. From at tfilah shodain yesh, a little bit of davening that we're able to do. I mean, at the tzvichim lishma, alem, kivavasin nenu, we have to protect and we have to guard. We have to be very, very careful. The little tar that we have, little davening that we have, we should try to hold on to and not try to knock it out with all kinds of narishkeit, all kinds of small things. Obviously, there's something which is, he's talking to men, he's talking more about when it comes to learning. But the netiya to kleinikait, the smallness, and getting very caught up in details is something which is more connected to women than to men. Getting caught up in the prote protum, that's the teva of a woman, is to notice every single detail. That's why, you know, a man can come into the house and say, ah, this is great, and a woman will say, well, didn't you see that the fourth line of the pattern is crooked? Or something like, women have an unbelievable way of noticing all the protum. They're very, very detail-oriented, and because of that, the danger of sacronus, of curiosity, usually affects women more than men. The danger of curiosity, it's a very strong niti in women to be curious. That the gan b'chava, it's an alta b'haisa, to be curious, what could be, what if, you know, maybe. So that's something that we all have to work on, and Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue next week.